Hey everyone, welcome back to Buzzing About Romance, your romance readers podcast. I am Becky, and joining me for this episode is Heather. Hi, Heather.
Hi, Becky.
As you just take a bite of your ice cream.
I'm eating my feelings. My son left this morning, or this afternoon, back to go to school. Makes me sad.
It's okay. And Lindsay is here. Hi, Lindsay. You're finally on the mend after having the funk.
Yeah. I've just napped a lot.
That's okay. Naps are good. I like naps. I like naps a lot. Oh.
Yeah.
Hey, Heather. Your headphone is scratching on your jacket.
Got it.
So you might need to pull it over or something. Anyway, we're a little bit of a mess tonight. This was not the episode we originally had planned. But flights got delayed from Florida to Pennsylvania. So Lainey Davis was supposed to join us. We will reschedule that episode because I really desperately want to talk about the Gilded Age. So tonight, we're just going to talk about what we're reading, any big feelings we're having about books, but actually we're also going to dabble into what we've been watching on TV, and maybe we can inspire some authors to write some books we'd really like to see based on what we're reading, or maybe we have a book title that matches a TV's vibe.
Maybe.
So stick with us. This is just going to be kind of a cozy chat with friends. We're going to talk about what we've been reading, what we've been binge watching, tossing a few recommendations your way for both your TBR, but maybe also your watch list. I announced it over in Discord. It is up on the website. I think there's an announcement later this week going out for Patreon. We're going to do a movie night coming up here in October. We're going to watch the Sandra Bullock, Channing, Tatum, movie. The one Lost City or something.
Huh? Yeah. The Lost City.
Lost City, October the 3rd at 9 p.m. in Discord. We're going to do a group watch of it. So,
she's a romance author. He's her cover model.
Yeah.
Oh.
I kind of get immersed in one of her romance type book. I'm interested to see what everybody thinks.
I've never watched it. I was going to do Romancing the Stone because when we had the rom-com authors on, we talked about Romancing the Stone and they were like, oh my God, yes, you should do a movie night. And it's not streaming anywhere. You have to buy it. And I'm like, I don't got time for that. So I thought, let's start here and then maybe we'll go backwards and pick up some of the other Nora Ephron rom-coms and maybe give those a good watch. So
I didn't even know this movie existed.
You didn't?
No.
It's been out
since 2022.
Yeah, it's been a few years, and I don't think the promotions for it were like all that crazy because like people still weren't really going to the theaters. I think they kind of just like released it very quickly to streaming.
It went to Paramount. I think it was almost a simultaneous release that it was in Paramount and then it was also like in the movie theaters at the same time.
I'm out of the loop on just pretty much everything, you guys. Please.
It's okay. Life happens. Okay, so quick Patreon shout out before we dive in. A quick shout out to our amazing Patreon community. Your support keeps the podcast buzzing and lets us bring you bonus content, reading guides, exclusive Discord chats. We have this upcoming moving night. If you're not a member yet, check out our one tier for $5 on Patreon. We'd love to have you a part of our bookish crew. We're going to an every other month model for book club. We had book club last night where we chatted about a Kristen Callahan book. And then we're going to be off in October, but we'll be back in November with a pick And I was doing some recon over today looking for what should be our November pick. I think we're going to go with a holiday book.
Because
we haven't done a holiday book in a while. Okay, so is anybody reading anything exceptional? Is there anything that you are looking forward that's coming out soon? Where are we at in our reading journeys right now?
I am actually reading a lot slower than I have in a very long time. Like, it's taking me days to get through books.
Well, and your life has changed. You've had a change in life with your oldest going off to school and leaving home. Uh-huh. And I'm sure your job, you know, and I know that we're all feeling this, right? Like, the world feels big and overwhelming and dire. And I do think that that's making us all be a little slower in our reading right now.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, yeah. Maybe.
It feels harder to escape.
Well, yeah. The other thing is, like, I feel like, in general, the burnout in the book world has been present for a while. Like, the books that have been coming out have been very underwhelming. Like, there are good releases, but, like, 3 years ago when we were on the podcast, like, almost every book we read that was a new release, we were loving. Like, we had an insane amount of books that we were just, like, constantly obsessed with. And now I feel like it's such a mixed bag of whether or not we like the book. And, like, for me, it's just, like, I'm really intentional now about where I'm spending my reading time. I'm really quick to DNF. Like, I've never DNF'd as many books as I have this last year.
Yeah. Well, and it's really interesting. I think that we, so I would say since probably 2020, and probably longer for some of us, but overall, like, market wise, end of 2020, 2021, there was this boom in romance, right? Mm-hmm. And we were getting new authors and new books, and it was coming fast, and the pacing, and we were getting a lot of good books still. And then I think as the market saturated and the books kind of changed a little bit, you know, we've gone to this, the community as a whole, the genre as a whole has an influx of new readers since 2020. And they are very vocal readers. You know, we all sound like the grumpy grandmas at book talk. Like, we hate that, you know? But the book talk reader are very vocal about what they want. They want the vibes. They want the no third acts. And I know, Heather, you're not really pro third act, but you tend to read a lot of, romantic suspense, or you're reading queer romances that already have deep emotional impacts.
Right. Correct. I don't hate, like, I think what I get sick of is, like, the predictability of every single book, like, being, does that make sense?
Yeah. Hey, pull your mic, like, off your zipper.
Okay. There, so I don't, yes, we read romance. It's predictable because everyone gets their happily ever after, but I don't love when every single book you read, it's like, oh, there's a miscommunication, and then they break up. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I don't think any of us want that, but I do want some emotional depth that I don't think, and I'm not saying that the book talk reader is not a valid romance reader, because if you read, you're a reader. Like, we've had this discussion, especially as moms of kids that read graphic novels, like, whatever you read is valid reading.
Yeah.
But there is a history to this genre that I don't know many of the new to the romance really get. You know, that third act breakup isn't always miscommunication.
No, it's not. One of the things that I've really noticed, and I think I'm happy that people are calling people on it, are these giant BookTokers or Instagrammers or whatever, and they're getting PR package after PR package after PR package, and they're posting everything, and then they're doing AI to write the reviews, and they're not actually reading the book.
That happened this week.
Yeah, and I'm super happy that they're being called out, because that is BS. If you sign up for an ARC, you commit to reading that book and writing your review.
Except I will say, yes, they're being called out by smaller accounts, smallerish right. authors. But is that person that is still doing that junk still on the PR mailing lists? Because I'm convinced, so I don't know, Jen Ellen shared it over in Discord. The new Alchemized comes out on Tuesday, which mm-hmm. is Harry Potter fanfic rework of Manacled. Did you ever read that fanfic, Lindsay? Mm-hmm. It's Germaine, so it's Harry Potter. And the last two previous Harry Potters, which was Bridget Knightley and Julie Soto that came out earlier this summer, uproar, right? Like, people were like, don't buy these books. You're feeding into the Harry Potter IP that gives money to the TERF, J.K. Rowling. Like, people were up in arms. But Manacled is this loved fanfic that people seem to be, it's kind of like, you know, I'm not like other girls kind of moments. And that seems to be how everyone is treating Manacled. And you can see that these BookTokers have their talking points from the PR, but they're still mm-hmm. going to get those packages. You know, the one that wrote the really bad review for Elsie Silver's book that was the mishmash of like actually four different books from two different series and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
She might not get her PR from Elsie's group going forward, but potentially she could get PR from another label or from Elsie's actual labor, because she has like 30 some thousand followers on Instagram.
Yeah, and I totally agree with you. I think if publishers and whoever are going to continue to send them, then that's on them. But I'm not saying that I want all that stuff. Like, that's not what I'm saying. I am saying, as a reader who has been around for a while now, when you sign up to do an ARC, it is you're saying, I'm going to read this book and I'm going to write a review. Like, that's what you're saying.
It is. And Lindsay, you've kind of talked about this a couple times. You definitely feel like there are some romance readers that are in it for the stuff.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. If you read the reviews, you can tell whether or not they actually read the book. Like, a lot of them will post vague reviews. Like, if you look at half of the reviews that come out before a book is released, there's no specifics to the story. There's nothing that tells me, like, how was the trope executed? Did it make sense? Like, did you just add a secret baby or an accidental pregnancy at 90% in the book because you needed a reason for these two people who don't work to get back together? Like, tell me something worthwhile that's, like, going to actually let me know that this is a book I'd like reading. Like, don't just tell me, like, these vague things that are, like, their communication was so cute and their banter and, you know, like, like, they're meet cute. Like, okay, like, there's no specifics when you just, like, call those things out. Like, those are elements. But, like, any book in romance that could apply to anything. Like, I need to know something specific, stand out about this book. If you're giving it 5 stars, why? Why is it 5 stars? Like, what made this book stand out to you to where it's 5 stars? Because if it's a 5-star book to me, like, it's a book that I would buy and read again and again and again and put on my shelf. Like, a 5-star book for me is a book that I'm going to buy probably every copy that comes out. Like, most books I read, I would say, are like 4-star reads. And maybe I'm just, like, much more discriminating than I used to be. But also, like, so disenchanted with how many bad books, like genuinely bad books, I've read the last year and a half.
Do you feel like, so I feel that there is kind of a agreement, a promise, a covenant between, and I bring up covenant because I am stuck on rapture talk and I'm fairly hoping that all the stupid people get sucked off on Tuesday, and are gone from the world. So fingers crossed. But, and then I saw someone real, like, here I'm off already. I did see someone over on Thread said, hey, if people are going to get sucked off, can the four horsemen of the apocalypse, can they at least be super attractive? Like, no diaper
Yeah.
wearing babies. And we're like, okay, yeah, sure. I can get on board with that. And I use the word sucked off because does anybody watch Ghost, the TV show Ghost
No.
on CBS? Oh my God, you guys, it's so flippin' funny. It's a husband and wife who inherit an inn, and she has a head trauma, and she can see the ghosts that haunt their bed and breakfast inn. It's on PBS or on CBS. It is so flippin' funny because there's ghosts from different ages. Like, there's a guy that's a ghost from the 90s who, like, died without pants on, so he's in a shirt and tie and suit jacket, I think, but has no pants. There's like a ghost from the Revolutionary War. There's a 1920s jazz singer. There's the lady that owned the house that was like from the Gilded Age and stuff like that. It's so flippin' funny. Oh, and there's a Viking. His name is Thor. It's so
Oh, yeah.
funny. And so what happens is you haunt where you die until you get sucked off and like taken out of the world. Your soul gets sucked off. It is so funny. If you want a good laugh and a good moment, and escape into some really funny characters, 10 out of 10 recommend Ghost on CBS. Oh, and the Arrow Scout leader. There's a guy, he was a travel agent, but he was also like the big scout leader guy who takes an arrow to the neck during like a camper outing. His name's Pete and he's stuck there. But anyway, each ghost has special powers. Like if you walk through the one ghost that's the hippie and she was killed by a bear, you get high because,
That
you know.
checks out. This
Anyway.
looks funny.
Oh,
I
it's
wonder. Yeah, I wonder if my husband watches it. He watches so many things, which
So
we
funny.
have not talked about. Something that I watched this summer that we sat and we binged it together, and then when it ended, we just stared at each other like, did this really happen? The Hunting Wives.
Okay, so I'm only three, four episodes in, but I really liked Pretty Little, no, was it Pretty Little Lies that was
Yep,
on
that's the
HBO? And
yep.
then The Apple Doesn't Fall. Did anyone watch that on Peacock?
No.
Lindsay, what are you watching right now?
Baseball,
Oh.
Jurassic Park movies.
Jurassic.
I'm very out of the loop with anything. Like, I did finally watch the first season of White Lotus. I am not past the first season. It was a miracle that that happened in summer months with, all the baseball that is being consumed. I saw something on the internet that was like a meme today that said, shout out to all the people who are still invested in baseball because you guys are just like straight crazy or something like that. That's me. I'm not even following my team because they've been eliminated. Like, I'm following the Mariners who are crazy. There's a whole thing going on with that that I've just been loving. Not really relevant to anything, but very appropriate for spooky season. A fan last weekend, not this weekend, last weekend, or like the end of last week, paid an Etsy witch $17
I have not heard this. Wait.
to,
What?
I've heard this too.
Cast a spell to bring the team good luck. They won 10 games in a row after this. They scored 28 runs in the two games that followed the Etsy witch thing. And then they are like very up in the division. They've lost one game and it's been like 14. This is today's their 14th game since. So it's been like a whole thing. It's so fun. Their slogan this year has been Tridents Up. Their big player has been called Big Dumper. Like he's nicknamed Big Dumper because of his big butt. He's a catcher. He's just having like a crazy season. And they've just been so fun. Plus, we went to see them in August, and it was the most fun I've had at a pro game outside of the postseason ever. So I've just been like really invested in
I feel
Seattle.
like I need to find that Etsy witch and see if she'd do something about the Twins in the Wild, because I feel like we need that. Like Kirill Kaprizov, it's like his last year of his contract here, and so we would like him to stay. So maybe I need to find that Etsy person.
Maybe.
Be like, okay, so The Hunting Wives, you're only four episodes in?
I am because I get
Oh.
distracted. Listen, I spent my summer, and we talked about this before. I spent my summer watching Freak. I made what Mike watch Bravo, you guys, for the summer. I made him watch Vanderpump Rules, and then I made him watch Below Deck.
Okay.
He still hasn't forgiven me, so we're kind of hopping around. British Bake Off is back. Is anyone watching
Okay.
British Bake Off on Netflix?
I've never even seen an episode of it.
Lindsay.
I know, and like in the winter months, I'm always like, oh, I'll get a streaming service. I'll watch a lot of TV, and then I don't. I don't know why, but I don't. I'm like, I'll just read books because I already pay for these subscriptions, and why not? Just read my books.
Okay, I'm gonna go back to The Hunting Wives, you guys.
Okay.
And here's, I'm going to tell you why. It is there the drama. So much. It's like all the drama that we love. And it's there's so much going on that you literally don't even know where to look. Does that make sense? Like
Yeah.
and then there's little pieces that are just dropped, and you're like, oh, wait a second. It is so good. There's murder. Everybody is sleeping with everybody. There's politics. It starts off in it's in Texas, and it starts. She's like, there's an NRA like party. It is wild, and she's fresh from Massachusetts, and is like a total liberal, and it is a riot.
It's
It's
got a
wild.
really great cast.
Super great
It is
cast.
scripted. It's based on a TV series. The Hunting Wives, or it's based on
It's a
a
book.
book, a book. The series I was talking about was Big Little Lies is what I think it's called. It's on HBO. It's Reese Witherspoon is in it. Nicole Kidman is in it.
Laura
So
Dern.
what?
Laura Dern.
Laura Dern is in it. It's an Australian author.
I think I have the books. My mom got them for me.
So it's Jennifer Lynn Barnes is the author that wrote the books. And she's the one who wrote the Big White Lies. And yeah, Big White Lies. And she wrote the one that I watched that was like the, and I can't find it now.
Lane Moriarty is her name.
Yeah. Oh. Yes, you're right. I was looking at a different book
I'm
list.
looking her up.
We were not prepared for tonight's episode, so you might get some information.
Okay, the other one that I watched, it's like literally the reason I got Peacock. Mobland, or no, I'm sorry, not Peacock. It's on Paramount. So Mobland is
Oh,
on Paramount.
yes.
And it is so good. So good. It is a mafia set in London. And if you're old like me, you're going to have to do subtitles, but the cast is amazing.
It's very dark in the filming, and it keeps making me look at new televisions. A new television, because I'm like, oh, her TV's old, it's so dark. But it's Pierce Bronson,
Brosnan.
and it's, yeah, Mike watched it. The other one that was really good was The Thursday Murder Club on Netflix?
I started it. I have not finished it.
That was a one-off. Like, it's just a movie, but it was really fun. I really liked that, and I laughed. The little old ladies in it are a hoot. I highly recommend it.
I need to watch that then. Because Pierce Brosnan is in that, and same with... Oh, my gosh. Who's the... We watched Mobland, both of us, and we both... my husband's like, now I get why you read mafia romance. I'm like, right? Like, it's good.
Michael watched, it's the one that Jeremy Renner is on Paramount, or Kingstown. Or is that what it is? Kingstown? Mayor of Kingstown. I think you would like it. It definitely feeds into your anti-hero, morally gray, like, you're like, I want to love you, but you do bad things, but okay. You're Jeremy Renner, so I'll do you.
My husband is watching that, obviously. He's also watching Tulsa King.
Oh, yeah, with Sylvester Stallone.
Yep, he really likes that one. We got Paramount just to watch Mobland, and we were going to do Paramount for like a month just so we could binge that. And then he was like, yeah, we can't get rid of this. I'm like, well, we actually don't need more streaming services.
And this is, Michael yells at me all the time, and I don't know how other people manage streaming services. So I'll say, hey, are you watching something on this streaming service? And he'll be like, no, I'm waiting for a show to come up. Or he'll be like, yeah, I've got like two more episodes in the show. I'm like, oh, okay. So randomly, I like to go cancel them. And then if somebody in the house says, why do we not have XYZ anymore? I'll be like, oh, okay, I'll restart it. But I just cancel it until somebody mentions that they miss it.
Yeah, we do one at a time. We kind of decide what we want to watch, and then we'll just binge it. A lot of what we'll do is, like, when we go visit our family, we'll do, like, a show over the course of visiting with our family that we watch. So, have you guys seen High Potential?
Mm-mm. No.
I think it's on Hulu, and it's got, I forget her name, but it's the actress from It's Always Sunny and The Mick. But basically, like, she's a high IQ person. She stumbles into helping with a murder. She's a cleaning person. Her husband went missing when her daughter was an infant. And then she starts solving murders as a consultant with them. And it's like each show is an individual episode where she, like, pieces together what's going on and helps solve the murder.
What's that called again?
High Potential.
But then, like, overarching, there is, like, a love theme. So it is, like, a little bit of a romance element. And then there's, like, the overall mystery of, like, what happened to her ex?
Yeah.
Because it's been, like, 15 years, and they don't know what happens. You find all that out in the first episode. So, like, what we'll do is, like, when I visit my family, like, we'll sit down each night and, like, watch two episodes or whatever. So, like, over 5 days, we'll finish a show or, like, a season. And that's how I
watch TV.
Michael and I watched The Perfect Couple with Nicole Kidman. It was on Netflix this summer. Ooh. It was really, really good. I really enjoyed it. Romantic suspense. It pretty much starts with a dead body, and it's based on a wedding weekend.
Yes, we saw that too. It was really good.
It was really, really good. Really good. She's
an author.
Yeah, she's an author.
And her husband is kind of, he's got issues.
Big issues, but so do their children. Their children are not innocent in their...
No.
I really enjoyed that. Like, but it did make me realize. So back to what we were originally talking about. We were talking about kind of like the romance, you know, the saturation, the flooding of the market, all these new authors coming on. I think that Indie to Trad pipeline authors were trying to get, like, they feel that that's the next level of success. So they were trying to write more to market than what previously I think we have seen. you know, we had the huge hockey romance kind of burst. Mm-hmm. And I think that we're kind of on a cusp right now where the romance bubble is on the verge of bursting. Because if we look at the Amazon top 100 for ebooks, there's a lot of days that there's not a romance in the top 10. Mm. It's thrillers, it's mysteries. And we talked about it a little last week. And to be honest, the books that are working are the romantic suspense. I've gone back. I'm finishing like Zoe Blake's, her Ivanovich family, her Russian mafia stuff. Mafia hits. I think that there's, but I want romantic suspense. I really loved what we did last week talking about the cozy mysteries and the mystery rom-coms. Mm-hmm. I read a couple this week. Like, it was, I like those. I really am enjoying the suspense. There's a book that's coming out that's called, and I have an arc of it. It's called Love Me, Stalk Me by Laura Bishop.
Mm.
And it's a dark stalker romance in the vein of like Lights Out and stuff like that. I read the first two chapters in a sample and I'm really hooked. So
you're right. The top, there is not a romance in top 10.
Yeah. And if we think about it, a month ago, we were talking about how big romance was going to be in September because you had so many heavy hitters hitting in the month of September. Like we saw, you know, we had a Sarah Kate book. We had an Elsie Silver book. We've got Emily McIntyre later this month. Bryn Weaver is this week. There were books last week. Like there's some heavy names. Lauren Asher, I think, was last week. They're not necessarily names that we love their books, but there are ones that are, you know, highly marketable that you see and it's kind of like you're not hearing about them.
No, I'm actually looking at that like book boyfriend calendar and there are so many books that are releasing in September. I mean,
yeah,
it is wild. Tate James had one.
So much. And there is, so if you follow Buzzing About Romance on our website, we do a monthly upcoming releases. And then if you follow and join our Substack, Amanda does every Friday, Happily Ever Anticipated, which is a list of books that is releasing in the coming week. Which, you know what, not 5 years ago, because we've been doing this for 5 years. So 8, 7, 10 years ago, I would have killed for a list like that. You know,
right. I mean, I'm just looking at September, you know, coming up and I'm anticipating at least 4. Right. Yeah. And then but now I'm looking through the list and I was like, there have been some that like authors that release books and I like them, but I didn't even know they released a book.
Yeah, it's just a real and I know that we are all kind of saturated with the news, the media, the direction of the world, the doom scrolling. But even when you engage and start to engage in the book stuff, people aren't talking about the releases.
No.
I used to track releases, and I will say because of the way Bookstagram has become that, like, I don't follow authors that I used to love on Instagram anymore. Like, if I see you reposting reviews and it's spoilery, I unfollow. Because for me, like such an important part of the book is making sure that the anticipation is there. And like with Catherine Cowles, I have to read her books after they come out because half of her reviewers, there's like a fine line in ARC review, right? Like there's a fine line between being vague and talking about like something that made the book stand out and then spoiling it. Like that's the other thing that like happens so often is that a lot of the reviews or a lot of like the influencer promotion is so like specific to moments that happen in the book. And then when those moments hit in the book, if I read them like right after I've absorbed all that stuff, the book just doesn't hit. It's like It hollows out the experience for me.
Well, and I think, and I'm fine with recommending a book by tropes. Like, we do that all the time. But I think when they start getting into the micro tropes or over troping or even the universal fantasies, when you start going too far into those, you take away some of the joy of discovery. And actually, I don't know if anybody's noticed, but we've pulled back on pop, saying when a book pops, we'll tell you the book is spicy, I'll tell you if it's a slow burn. But I received feedback from several people that are listeners here on the podcast that follow Bookcase and Coffee reviews that felt like sometimes the pop was a spoiler for them. Like, so I have it. So if you want it, you can always, always, always message us. But people felt like that anticipation of when it's going to happen plays into their enjoyment of reading. And, you know, one of the things that was really important to me when we started this is that we were shouting out our love of reading, but helping others find their next book that they love. And I never want to do anything that's going to cause someone to stumble and not love the book they wanted to love. Like, the author can fuck it up, but I don't want to be the person that did it.
Right.
I agree. I for the pop, it's very interesting. I do track it, so if people want to know, they can obviously reach out. But I think that put out percentage is different. Like, everyone kind of views that
Absolutely.
experience different. And so what is it, you know?
Right. And we made it up, so there's no clear genre
Right.
definition. We will tell you if the book gets hot, gets spicy. I just, you know, we started it out of a moment of frustration when Leah made me read a Carla Sorensen book and nothing happens, not even like a kiss till 89%.
Yeah, I get frustrated by that. Like, I, you know, for everybody that loves clothes, I totally, whatever floats your boat, whatever makes you happy, whatever books you like to read, that is not my jam. So I kind of want to know ahead of time.
I just like to prepare myself. Like, if it's going to be a slow burn, then I know going in that it's going to be sometime after 60%. And I also know that, you know, traditionally, previous to this year, I would say traditional publishing is going to have a slower burn. It's going to be a little light on the spice and everything like that, which is cool. It's so back to what I was talking about before. There is that reader-author covenant with expectations and promises. And I think many of us are feeling that some of our favorite authors aren't, I don't want to say they're not trustworthy, but they don't take the covenant as serious as we do. Like,
Well,
our.
being on the market is also changing that, like, because so many indie authors are having the opportunity for these like traditional and paperback distribution deals. Like, I think that has very much disrupted the industry. Like, we still get consistency and volume and quality from like the workhorse style authors that have just been doing this forever.
But not
But
really,
then, like,
because you look at Melanie Harlow, we used to expect 4 books a year from Melanie Harlow, right? 3 to 4 books a year, Melanie Harlow. She's gonna go at least 16 months between her last new title to when we get a new title for her because she had all those reissues on the Cherry Tree Harbor series.
So I think about authors who like there's a lot of pressure for them too to be like releasing books, like just churning them out. And so I think that we're gonna see some authors like kind of slowing their release schedule down a little
Well,
bit.
and of course, you have these people that think that they're having this great gotcha moment that have decided if an author publishes 8 books a year, AI is doing it. They're not, they can't physically write. Versus all of us that work on the industry side and the podcasters, we know they're not, you know. Sawyer Bennett has consistently been releasing 7+ books a year for the last 8 years.
Yeah. And Natasha Madison, we know Natasha Madison writes her books ahead of time. Like,
right.
If she starts releasing a series, we know all of her books are written.
Right. And we also know how she operates. Right. And she's very honest and upfront about her writing process. Mm-hmm. We also know Susan Stoker is like 3 years ahead in her writing. Susan
Stoker too. She knows she can tell you what she's going to release in 2027 because she's consistent.
Well, and same with Carrie Ann Ryan. And I will say that those authors, so now, you know, Sawyer, we've kind of stumbled a little bit in this current Titans series. And it's really interesting when you are really reading a book and reading a series, you can kind of see maybe the author's life got a little, had some stumbles or some things happen because their writing does change a little bit, right? You know, we know Susan got inspired by Maine. She's moved there, built her dream house, done all her things up there. And now she's got that Maine series that she's releasing. But yeah, I think that we know that those authors like Carrie and Ryan, I might not love every book she gets, but I'm going to get a quality story that's well written, well edited. And with characters that are going to be memorable. Which
marketing is also consistent.
Yeah. I love her current Cage Family series. Has anybody else picked it up?
I have not. I need to get back into reading her.
There's three books out right now, I think, in the Cage Family. There was a novella, and then I think we've had two books so far. I'm loving it. I am loving it.
It's very funny because Demi and I were talking, it's my book of the week, but this author is prolific. She has a backlist and she just doesn't falter. Renee Rose. I just always forget how much I enjoy her books.
Yeah. So Lindsay, so if you could have your ultimate story right now, what are you looking for? Do you want suspense? Because I know you like suspense. Do you want small town? What, like, if you could cherry pick like two tropes in a book right now, what would you want?
I am so chaotic in my reading.
Fair.
Like, I am very chaotic in my reading. I jump from paranormal to small town to whatever has been trending, like whatever popular releases there are that I finally got off the wait list on from the library, like the Allie Hazelwoods and the Abby Jimenez and like books like that. And then like I'll cycle back through like authors that I used to love. And, like, give them second chances. Like, I did finally read the Cherry Tree Harbor series by Melanie Harlow.
How'd that go for you? You can be honest.
And this is kind of in line with my answer. Like, so many authors just write the same thing over and over and over again. And it works in a certain capacity, like if you're trying to draw in, I guess, like audiences that are prone to support what's trending, like I think it works, but for longevity, for like long-term success, I think you need like consistency. I don't know, I think you need consistency, but I also think you need to branch out and like write stories that are inspired, and I just am not getting the sense that there's much inspiration happening. Like, I don't feel when I read a lot of books that there's like passion. I am going, like, one of my books for this week is Erin Branscombe's new release, the Pump, what is it?
Oh, she's got a new small town series, doesn't she?
The Pumpkin Spice Spell. So she has a small town cozy rom-com series, and they're all like fall themed. So, like, this one is out now, and then it'll be Hexes and Honeysuckles and Mistletoe and Magic, and the next one will come out, I think, next month, and then in December. So, like, by the end of the year, they'll all be out. So, I'm hopeful about that, but like, I don't really care about tropes. I just care that it's like a good book, and there's not really like, I don't
Okay,
know.
and
Like, it's just trial and error.
it's not romance, Lindsay, but I need you and Charlie to read Dungeon Crawler Carl.
Dungeon Crawler Carl.
Yes, we've talked about it. I need you and Charlie to read it. And actually, if anybody is listening to this podcast and you have a romance comp for Dungeon Crawler Carl, please send it my way. There are these chirpy side characters that are Princess Donut the cat. She's a hoot, and she has a pet velociraptor named Mongo, and it is kind of immersive video game vibe. It is an indie pickup to Trad Pub, but they're in Kindle Unlimited. The audiobooks are phenomenal. The guy that does the audiobooks are phenomenal, Lindsay. I'm telling you, this is Charlie's book.
I'm gonna have to check it out. I've
It's.
still been reading The Expanse.
I
Like, I'm
know.
still very. I had to stop watching the show because it was starting to spoil the book, and I was getting pissed off when I was reading the books, and I was just like, because like what happens is the show gets to a point where it stops being sequential, and then
Right.
it's like three different books, plot lines are happening all at once, and I'm like, I'm not at that yet. I'm not at that yet.
Yeah.
I'm irritated, and I'm.
Honestly, though, what I need you to read, pause and read Dungeon Crawler Carl, book one.
I'll have to, because like right, I just like my baseline for expectation for a book is that it's just well written. That's really all I want. I will
This
read pretty much anything.
is so funny. I've been catching snippets of the audio. Mike's been listening to it. Like, dude is like on book three or book four of the series in
Oh.
audio. And he's like, I get to spend time because today when he went on his 32-mile bike ride, he's like, I'm gonna spend some time with Princess Donut. I'm like,
So cute. Dungeon what, Carl?
Dungeon Crawler Carl. It's kind of video games mixed with Dungeon and Dragons, reality TV. It is adult themed because there is cursing in it. I bet your husband would enjoy it, Heather.
I wonder if my 11-year-old, or I'm sorry, he's not 11. He's not 11. He's 14.
I was gonna say, I thought Liam
Oh
was
my
a little
God,
older.
he's Liam is not four, he's 14.
I mean, it has,
He
I don't think
has.
there's sex in it, but there's definitely violence and.
Well, I caught him re watching, oh my God, Game of Thrones. I was like, actually, no. Actually, this is not for you. Oh, don't worry. I fast forward through the sex scenes. I'm like, that's actually the, like, no, none, no, hard. Oh my God. But he's an avid reader.
He might really like it. It's the ebooks are in Kindle Unlimited. The audiobooks are phenomenal. I'm telling you. I am telling you. And if I could find a romance comp for it, which I don't even really love, I think the closest I've come is probably Tusk Love. Did you read that one yet, Lindsay?
No.
It was really good. It was published by Critical Role. So it's a storyline inspired by Critical Role, the Dungeons and Dragons group. So it was very good. I really enjoyed that. But yeah, Dungeon Crawler Carl. I need a romance comp. So if anybody has one, send it my way.
Interesting.
It's so fun.
I bet
Just
my brother would like it.
the banter, the characters, they're just, I'm obsessed with Princess Donut. I'm obsessed with her. Because she is just chirpy and she'd make a great best friend that totally calls you out on all your shit in a romance novel. Like,
Nice.
she's fantastic. Okay, are there any other books or movies we need to talk about before we go to our book of the week?
Oh, I did read Tide Over and Dip Out by Eve Holmes. It is set in Canada. It's MM.
Okay.
The setting, her writing is so good.
What's the name?
I, Eve Holmes.
Okay.
Book three is coming out, and it's a grumpy grumpy.
Oh.
It's a motorcycle guy and a professor.
Okay.
I want to move to Canada anyway, but this for sure is making me like one of like tied over is he's a lobster fisherman, and then the other male main character works out on an oil rig. They're not connected, but kind of loosely. It's you guys, it's they're
So,
so good.
if you like that and you are looking for a female male romance that's
Yeah.
East Coast, we have author Quinn East is debuting on Thursday with her first book. Hold on. The title just totally
I'm down.
lost my brain.
Always been.
What, Lindsay?
It's always been you.
It's Always Been You. Second Chance, done exceptionally well. She's kind of the prodigal child. There's the opening line in the book, you guys, is the grandpa says, "Lock me up. I think I killed her." Like, grandpa is so funny. So the heroine, her grandmother has passed away. She has to come, she's coming back to the island that she left previous, and he is the sheriff of the town. It's small town, East Coast, got some Melissa Foster vibes, but also like quirky, fun, small town if you liked Gilmore Girls. But it's on an island that's off the coast of Maine.
Sounds perfect.
It's so good. 10 out of 10 recommend. And Grandpa, like, I cannot wait for more Grandpa antics. There's also this set of frogs. That's all I'm going to tell you about them. It's a statue. That's all I'm going to tell you.
Nice.
Okay. Lindsay, is there any books or movie or anything that we should talk about before we move to Book of the Week?
I just want to say something about a trash game show I found. It is called The Quiz with Balls. And you answer questions, and then balls, literally giant balls, drop and knock you into water if you get it wrong.
Okay, wait.
And
What streaming service is this on? Quiz with Balls.
I don't know. I decided the last night on my vacation, I really just wanted to get drunk in my hotel room and just sit in bed and watch beer, drink beer, and watch whatever was on TV. So we did that and we came across the Quiz with Balls and it was wildly entertaining. They literally get knocked into the water. Like it's these giant yellow balls that go down a thing. And if you got the answer wrong, it knocks you into the
Did
water.
you ever watch The Wipeout? It was a show that would take place like in
Yes.
Japan and they would voice over the US. Oh, that
Yes.
wasn't Wipeout. What was it called?
Maybe. I watched American Ninja Warrior.
This is like Ninja, American Ninja Warrior, but not. It's
Okay,
funnier.
Becky, whatever show that is, we would watch it and die laughing because
Yes.
then they'd like get knocked over by like, oh my, it was so funny.
They had to like bounce off a ball. There was like the joust, like they had to like jump over hurdles above water. And then a lot of times they'd fall off and to get to the next. It was
Yeah.
so funny. So
I will be
funny.
watching this though.
But the voiceovers, like you could hear like the Japanese, the original commentators in the background, and then the voiceovers were so funny because they didn't match up. They didn't, but it was funny. Okay. So now it's that time. It's that time for
I'm ready.
Book of
Of
the
the
Week. It is Book of the Week time or books we want to fight.
week.
Lindsay, what category are you picking? And then what's your title?
I guess we'll do.
You can fight it.
Don't know, like I just have. I don't know, maybe I'm the problem. I'm probably the problem. Like, I don't like it's not that I don't like anything, it's just that, like, nothing is hitting.
It's not just you, friend.
Like, nothing is hitting. But I will say, I did finally read a couple books that I'd had on my TBR forever. I finally read the Hemmy's book in the Helena Hunting Toronto
Oh,
Terror series.
okay.
And I liked that one. I don't know. Like, it just didn't. They're not memorable. Like, I don't mean this in a bad way, but like, that what I'm reading, it's not bad. It's just not like.
The best thing you've ever read.
When I talk to you about this book in 6 months, I won't even remember a single thing about it.
That's fair. I think that's fair. I think Hemmy's is book two. It's the dad's best friend.
No, hers is book three. It's her childhood friend nemesis. Like, it's her in
Oh,
Dallas.
that's book three.
Yeah,
Her
it's
in
like an.
Dallas. Yeah, she's plus size. Yeah. Okay. I
Yeah.
liked that one. I didn't hate that one. I actually think that that was probably the better. The dad's book is really good.
I haven't read his yet. I'll
His was
probably
my
read it.
favorite so far.
I've just been like working through the books on my TBR that I can actually get past the first through ch few chapters in.
Fair.
I have finished some other books. Like, I did. I don't know. I feel like I'm just being super picky.
It's
I
okay.
got a couple of books from the library that I had audio on that I finished. I'm almost done with Problematic Summer Romance, and I liked it, but why is it so long?
See, and I liked it, but I thought the audio was good and the length didn't bother me on that one. And it's not as long as like the two books we've done recently on Wednesdays.
The 400, I'm over the 450 page books. I can't do that. My patience is not for that.
No, for years, my rule has been like, why is it 400 pages? It should be like 350 to 400 max. And if it's over 400, like, I assume it's poorly written. And almost every single time, it's just caked with fluff because they want to add tropes in that sound good on, I don't know, TikTok. I don't know.
I really liked Problematic Summer, but I agree. It there
I
were
do like
parts that
it.
dragged.
Yeah, and
Yeah.
it's just there's just like things that don't make a lot of sense. Like there's a scene where they go on like a side. There's a couple of side quests where I'm like, it doesn't really like it's cutesy, but it's like, what does this add to the overall story?
Yeah.
Like it's just cutesy. It's in there for, I guess, like comedic elements and like bonding. And I see like why it's in there, but I just don't feel like it drives the plot. I felt like it just, especially because it's like in the audio, it's like a 30, 45 minute detour, and I'm just like, why?
Yeah, I
Go
think that's
get
fair.
naked.
Go get
Go get
naked.
naked.
Heather, what's your book of the week?
My book of the week, I had the, yeah, Prince of Control. It is a second gen series of the Chicago Bratva series, by Renee Rose. So it is the director, Ravel and Lucy's son, Ben. And it is set in sort of it like on the border of Illinois and Wisconsin. So oh, there goes my Minnesota accent, sorry. In like a private college, it kind of gives off the like Harvard vibes a little bit, and there's like a little bit of secret society
Oh,
and
fun.
arranged marriage. You guys, it is so good.
Okay.
So good. It comes out 9/25. She's a wide author, so I don't know. I reread the director just to kind of prep for it, and I'm like diving into that series because it's I just really like it. So
That's
highly recommend Prince of Control.
okay. My book of the weeks are actually books I did some work on, but I hadn't read. So, the first I have two sort of. I have Utterly Irresistible by Erin Nicholas. I did a quote poll for her, but I'd never read the Boys Gone Wild series, and it's so funny. It is rom-coms are hitting for me right now, and it was just so funny, and I really enjoyed the characters. And the shenanigans of the family. Their meet cute is hilarious. There's goats involved and otters. It's delightful. I really, and I love some little cute animals. Give it to me.
Yeah.
And then I did Whiskey Cowboys coming out by Walker Rose at the end of the month. And I had to do, I had beta read this months ago, and then I did like an audiobook because the audiobook's going to simultaneous release. And it's just a novella, but it is spicy and it is delightful. And I am so very excited for this new series of hers.
So I didn't know it was a novella. One, I'm excited. I have not read a Walker Rose book.
I think you would like them. I really think that you would like them.
So I actually have the arc of this one, and I just have not gotten into it. But I'm super excited.
It's a novella. Well, it's so spicy. It's so good.
It's a little bit different than what she was doing under the Marie Johnston umbrella.
It is. It is.
Like, her small towns are generally like oil family.
Mm-hmm. The minerals, like, the rights of the land. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think like a lot of what she writes about is like what's actually happening in a lot of Absolutely. The Dakotas. So like it's pretty, I think like pretty closely tied to like her home experience. But with this one, like they're in Montana and Colorado, and it's, they're not all, like her Bourbon Canyon series, they're not all, they all work in some capacity or tied in some capacity to the family ranch and the bourbon brand. But
it's like, found all the family. Families
have branched out, but it's, yeah, it's more found family because it's four sisters who have been adopted into the family, and then three brothers who I think are the biological children.
No, they're all foster kids.
I thought
the girls might have been the biological. I did not read the first series. I've read.
No, the girls are biological sisters. Their parents died in a car crash and they got adopted. But the family, I thought the boys were biological children. I may be wrong.
No, they're fosters.
Because... maybe all.
Because this but new series is the Foster House series, and it is three brothers that met the owner of the distillery.
Through the foster program.
Through the foster program. They were there for a short time.
I think what makes Marie and probably Walker Rose, right, like her families are not, they're kind of messy.
They are.
So messy. And understands family expectations and kind of... the different dynamics of being the oldest sibling, the caretaker, the middle sibling, the the youngest that's kind of messy.
And then it's like all the TV that we like where they're messy families and like all the drama and you're like not sure where to look. And that's what it feels like to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then she does a really good job of showing like how individual experiences impact like how you interact with not just like your relationship with your
but also how you're perceived out in the world too.
Yeah, she's really
and you know what, she's a nice person. She's so
kindest human being
and so kind.
Yeah,
so I love her.
I do too.
Thank you for hanging out with us for this kind of chill catch-up episode. Don't forget that Wednesday night we'll be live here on YouTube, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, reviewing Zom Rom-Com by Olivia Dade. And remember, we're live every Sunday night right here on YouTube and then into your news feeds in time for your Monday morning commute. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure you follow us on social media, leave us a review. It really helps other romance readers find the podcast. Thanks for listening. Thank you, everybody, for hanging out with us this evening.
Thank you.
And until next time, everyone, happy reading.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.